She is immortal. A thousand years old. And she cannot die. A creature of legend. Like the Raven. A thief who stole the sun and the moon. They sent a warrior to bring her back. He found her. Together, they brought back light to the world. I was a cop. To me, she was just a thief. Another day on the job. But she wasn't. She changed my life. Changed everything. And both of us knew from that moment on, nothing would ever be the same.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, The Raven, Episode 13, The French Connection. And here to talk with you about it, as we always are, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis, and that is the Audie Norman. Audie, how are you?
Doing all right, man. It's been one of those weeks that feels like it's been a lot longer than it should have been.
It hasn't been for me, but that's because I had a three-day weekend where I spent Monday in the tattoo chair.
So, well, yeah, that'll do it.
That was a day that kind of both was a long one, but also went by quickly. And now I'm mm-hmm. at the stage of it itching, and so I'm constantly slapping my arm. But totally worth it. Episode 13, we are past the halfway mm-hmm. mark, and
yeah,
we're in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, we are.
Yeah, things are getting interesting. I think there's nothing to it. We just jump right into it, right?
Heck yeah.
Truck goes off the road into the Seine.
So we open up with, we actually get Jim Byrne saying previously on Highlander the Raven, which I did like.
Right.
And then we get a quick recap of last week's episode. We don't need to go over that. But it ends. I did like how that ended because a lot of times what you get with those recaps is sort of previously on, they show a bunch of the clips and then, you know, fade out and then we start the episode. And this one,
right.
I like how it kind of just rolled right into things.
Mm-hmm.
Was kind of cool because I was expecting like, ooh, okay, we're to the point where, you know, they shoot Nick and then we'll get the mysterious person walks up. No. Instead, it was just we found out right away it was Bert. Bert is
right.
who shot the guy.
Uh-huh. So, I also liked how they did it very quickly. It was just like recap, Bert, intro. Like
yep.
we didn't get a whole big long extra. It's like, yeah, here you go. Here's the reveal. Now we're getting into the episode.
Yeah, it was a good use of the cold open mixed with the previously mm-hmm. the, you know, recap of last week. So I yeah. liked that. So Bert takes Nick, gets him off the street, we get the opening. Meanwhile we've got Amanda shows up in Paris. So she heads mm-hmm. for a church. She walks in, and I did kind of like this scene because she walks in, she goes straight to the confessional booth,
mm-hmm.
sits down, starts doing the standard confessional thing. The priest kind of doesn't really bat an eye when she's like, hey, it's been about 400 years since my last confession.
Right.
And then we find out, well, that's because she knows him.
Right.
He's a guy named Liam. And Liam apparently is like the guy. In Paris, right? He knows everything.
Apparently.
Even though, as Highlander fans, we've never seen or heard of him before. It's fine. We yeah. don't have to know everybody. But so she's looking for a doctor that could deal with a bullet wound because
mm-hmm.
she can't find Nick. Nick's not in any hospital. He hasn't shown up in a morgue. None of that. Mm-hmm. She's apparently checked all that. And Liam gives her a list of some names. Cut to Nick in a house getting tended to
yeah.
by a doctor.
Yeah.
And it's somebody that
getting
Bert knows.
Getting attended to and hit on
yes.
by a doctor.
Yes, she was very subtle. So it's a doctor that Bert's worked with before. Bert's in Paris because, you know, it's Bert. He does clandestine stuff all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they patch up Nick, so he's got some stitches. He's doing okay. And then we cut to a couple outside of this building, kind of doing like the fake, we're going to sit here and kiss and make out thing on the side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see a guy walking up, and suddenly she goes, there he is. And they chloroform the man.
Yep.
Dump him into a trunk which is in a car that, who's sitting in there? Andre Korda.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a quick little discussion about musical corpses. Moving bodies around. They're going to stage a death. And a little later, we actually see them kind of interrogating him, but not really. And then Korda shows up.
Right.
And Korda's like, well, you work for me now. And we don't know who the guy is, but we do know that they faked his death.
Right.
So Nick gets fixed up. He still believes Amanda's dead. That's why he's here. He wants Korda, and Bert is doing pretty much everything he can to tell him it's a bad idea. It's like, look, this isn't, you don't want to go after this guy. Nick's like, I don't care. Of course, he's not going to listen to him because it's Nick. Meanwhile, we also have Amanda searching for Nick, looking for the doctor. And she's got one more doctor to check out somewhere in Chinatown. So that's where we have her. What is it? Bert and Nick leave and they go, they go out. The doctor was a doctor in China and now she works out of the back of a restaurant. So I did kind of like that line. What, you get your stitches taken care of and some mushu pork?
Right.
So they're there. She's still hitting on Nick. This doctor is all about Nick. When Bert notices something outside and he calls Nick over and it's Amanda.
Yeah, it is.
So Nick has already told Bert, hey, she's dead. And now they see her. So now Nick, very confused and looks a little annoyed. Amanda comes into the place. And so they hide. Doctor goes to talk to her. The doctor lies to Amanda, telling her that Nick died of his wounds. And gives him a watch. Or gives her a watch, rather.
Right.
So Amanda is visibly upset by this. She's definitely not taking it great. She leaves, and as she's leaving, Nick comes up behind her. And they see each other, and they embrace, and Amanda kisses him, and then immediately slaps him for faking that he was dead. And he's like, what? I just did what you did. And they go right into bickering. Then Bert's like, come on, guys, let's go inside. And as they're getting, as they're heading inside, Amanda feels an immortal. So she's like, yeah, let's go. And it's Korda. Korda is watching them. So now Korda knows. Korda knows that Amanda's alive, but Korda also knows that Nick is alive.
Yep.
And then we get the woman that we saw earlier that was working with Korda. She's lying dead outside of a, there's a car flipped over and she's just laying there. But it's just a ruse because an armored truck pulls up. And one of the guards in it gets out to go check on the car accident.
Right.
The other guy that we saw earlier sneaks in behind the truck. Basically, the two of them stage this. They kill the drivers and they take the truck and drive away.
Yep.
So Nick and Amanda have been going over stuff all night. I love that. Bert comes in. It's 5 a.m. You're still at this? And Nick figures out a pattern. He sees a pattern in some strange events. There's a engraver who was found dead, burned in his house. A truck that was stolen was dumped into the river and all its contents and the drivers washed away, which...
Yeah.
It's in the Seine, which I don't think would wash anything away. It's not like a rapidly moving river, but I digress.
Right.
And then there was also an explosion at a plant somewhere nearby. So Nick's kind of piecing all this stuff together. Of course, Amanda and Bert are like, okay, none of that's related. And he goes, no, look, it is. And he figures out that Korda is counterfeiting.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, well, we got to go get him. And the two of them take off, Amanda and Nick, to go get Korda. And I did like this little scene where he opens up the trunk and he's getting his gun out and Amanda sees the sword. And she's like, oh, you brought my sword? Like she's a little smitten with the idea that he, you know, he traipsed across the ocean to avenge her death and brought her sword, all that. And Nick is trying to play it off. Like they're just doing a bad job of not being flirty with each other is basically mm-hmm. what's going on there. But it's good. It works. Their chemistry,
yeah.
The chemistry between the two of them is getting better all the time.
Oh yeah.
They go to the club. They're told Cord is not there, but Amanda can feel him. She says, no, he's here. And mm-hmm. they've brought the police with them as well.
Yeah.
Like a whole lot of police.
mm-hmm.
So Bert must have pulled some strings. But Cord is gone. Amanda yep. felt him. We saw her get the buzz. And then
right.
he's nowhere to be found. So now you got Bert annoyed. And the French police are annoyed. And mm-hmm. Nick and Amanda go out and they're trying to figure it out. She's like, no, he's got to be close by. I know it. And then they look at a manhole cover and realize he might be underground.
Mm-hmm.
So they head into the sewers and they find a big, you know, they find a system of tunnels, the catacombs. And
yeah.
Corda has got a base, basically like a lair down there. It's underneath his club, which his club is apparently a sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
So, because if you remember last week, we talked about like, how is this holy ground? It's his club.
Right.
Apparently he buys old sanctuaries, like unused, disused churches and converts them into
right.
clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So Amanda and Nick figure out that he's got the system of tunnels that he's using and that's how he's getting around. That's how no one can catch him. They get a little bit turned around and then they get attacked.
Yep.
And it's Corda and one of his goons. So Nick takes out the guy. Amanda and Andre start fighting. Andre gets the upper hand, but Nick steps in, shoots him, and he just runs away. But now the two of them are lost. They don't mm-hmm. know where they are, so they got to get out of there. And then their flashlight that they had dies. And then we cut to a commercial. And we come back, and they've figured their way out. So they get out. And they realize they need somebody that knows the tunnels. And Amanda's like, I know a guy. And they go to talk to Liam.
Of course.
Because we introduced him. We got to bring him back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chekhov's informant. Yeah. And I liked Liam. I thought Liam was cool.
Yeah. He was good.
So they go to him. They want to get information, but he won't tell them because he's nonviolent. He doesn't want to get involved.
Right.
He doesn't want anything like that happening. And Nick convinces him by making a basket on the basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. That's enough. Why not? So he gives him some maps he's got of the tunnels and everything. So now they've got a way to go after him. Meanwhile, Corda actually goes after the doctor to find out where Nick is.
Right.
He finds the doctor, threatens her, which was a pretty good scene, especially when she throws mm-hmm. the vase at him and he just grabs it out of midair and then crushes it.
Yeah.
Which, no, but sure, I'm fine.
Yeah, a good, I'm strong, bad guy.
Yeah. So, and also we've got the counterfeiter doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of cutting back and forth between a few of these different things. But Nick and Amanda head back into the catacombs, this time with the map. So they can figure their way around. They find the lair. They take out the goons that are there. There's a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a quick little fight sequence. They knock them out. And then they find the counterfeiter, the engraver guy, and the big pile of money that he's been working on and all the machines and everything.
Yep.
And they proceed to destroy all of the counterfeit money. I guess that's what they were doing.
Yeah, they don't really say. It's just like, hey, the machine's starting for some reason. Okay.
Yeah, it was strange, but okay. And then Bert at Bert's place, Corda has found him because Corda got the information from the doctor as to where Bert was. So they're dragging Bert out and they're setting the place on fire.
Right.
Which I kind of feel bad for Bert's friend that the house belonged to.
Yeah.
Poor guy. So when Nick and Amanda get back after having done whatever they did with that money, that fake money, they find, you know, police and fire department and all that's there, the building's on fire, and stuck in a fence or a wall is a picture of Bert and mm-hmm. one of those bladed fans. So Amanda's like, well, looks like Andre's got him. Mm-hmm. And I got to go take him out. And Nick's like, we got to go take him out. There's about 10 seconds of arguing over whether or not Nick is going to go with her. And then they decide, nope, we're going to split up. I'll go after Corda. You go get Bert. And Bert's not giving any info to Andre or his men.
Oh my gosh. I love this scene. Bert with all the jokes.
He's got a comeback for everything. And basically Corda's like, all right, fine. You're not going to tell me what I want to know. I'm just going to go.
Which I will say, I don't know if this goes anywhere, but it's very interesting that Corda's like, you have all this information on me and this thing, and this thing. And Bert, you know, of course, has the jokes admitting to nothing. But how much of that is like, how much does Bert actually know? He knows about Corda. He warned Nick off. So like, how much of this is Bert like, oh, I know what's going on. I'm just not going to tell you that I know, kind of thing. Like, I want to know what Bert knows.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds as we go forward. Because obviously Corda is, you know, a bad guy and he's a criminal. Mm-hmm. But does Bert know anything about the Immortals?
Right. I don't think so, but
yeah, it's hard to say. So Nick shows up and helps to basically rescue Bert, who was in the process of getting himself out of the situation.
Right.
But still, Nick was there. They leave, and Amanda takes on Corda, and they have their final face-off. And I do like Amanda pulling out the bladed fans and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes him out. She finishes him off. And gets quite the quickening in the little rail yard there, that like kind of semi-enclosed railway. And when we come back from our final commercial break, Amanda and Bert have bought the sanctuary and are going to divide it up. And basically they're going to both run it and split the money, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
And I did like Nick coming up and he's like, what's going on here? Well, we got it for a real good price. The previous owner suddenly died.
Yeah.
And we end with Amanda's going to run a club and Nick is going to stay in Paris because he has nothing to go back to the States for.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to stay there and live there.
And Bert is handing him over his European operations. Like, that was a nice little touch, too. I was like, oh, okay. Got a job and everything.
Yep. He's got a job. He's got a place to live. Amanda's got a club to run. It's holy ground. And that's where we end. That was the French Connection.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some thoughts on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Son of a bitch. Engraver burns to death in apartment fire.
Well, that's tragic.
Truck goes off the road into the Seine. Driver and contents washed away.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Take a look at this. Chemical factory explosion on the outskirts of town.
All right. So given that I liked last week's episode quite a bit, and this one continued that on, it's still not perfect, but it was a hell of a lot better than a lot of the early stuff. Because again, for me, this feels like the show figuring out what it wants to be finally.
Mm-hmm. This is absolutely my favorite episode so far. Like, I loved it. This felt like a real Highlander episode using Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy crap.
It really did. And they did a great job of continuing a story and tying up a lot of that stuff. Like, it feels like it belongs in a Highlander series. I do wish that part one, Joe, had been just a little bit different.
Right.
But I understand some of the changes they did there. So I'm not going to really rail on him for that, but this was great. Just getting us there, kind of playing with the immortality still a little bit, where Amanda's like, look, this stuff's going to keep happening. And Nick's like, I don't care. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know about this. I'm in. I'm not going anywhere.
Right. And the thing I liked about is we had those conversations and they didn't take two or three times as long as they should have. They took exactly the right amount of time this episode. They didn't hammer it and, you know, rehash it over and over within the same dang conversation.
Yeah, we didn't have to have three conversations for the same topic
mm-hmm.
in one episode. Like, that was always, that was really annoying when they were doing that. So that was nice.
Yeah.
And I mean, now that we know, you know, it's the Highlander thing to spend half the season in France. So this was clearly also co-produced by the French company.
Yeah.
But in terms of ways to write them into that, this works. Works from it works as well as any time they wrote Duncan into moving to Paris for a while. So, and Amanda being somewhat transient in her own right, it kind of makes sense, right?
It does. And the whole fact that Bert was in this episode, we've already set up that Bert moves around and does all kinds of stuff. So him showing up like this was a surprise, but not a total out of the blue. There's no way that could happen surprise. It was like, oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Yes. That was using the character that they set up with Bert to be not just a private security guy, but actually, so some of the groundwork that they did in some earlier episodes paid off here. And it does retroactively make those a touch better. They're still not great. It was still like they had that one episode that focused on him a lot and it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I liked having that as an in and a way to get Nick over here. And then like it worked for me. All of it worked for me really well.
Oh, absolutely. Also, I'm just glad to have normal badass Bert back. Doing his thing, being the babysitter for Nick and Amanda, which was great. Like, come on, kids, stop fighting. Let's go.
Yeah. Yep. He was great throughout this episode. He had the because he's basically the Joe role in this episode. He's the non-immortal that doesn't know everything. Like, he doesn't have as much knowledge as Joe and the Watchers do, but he at least knows the two main characters. So all of his interactions,
he's got his own knowledge, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's got his own knowledge. Like we said, knowing what's going on with Cora, having a finger in it, because he was on the phone with somebody about somebody in Brazil or whatever it was. And then Cora later questions him about knowing about Brazil. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And we're like, you got to know something, dude, because you were talking to somebody earlier and we heard that conversation. So,
So, and then of course, introducing Father Liam as well, who,
right,
according to IMDb, is in 5 episodes. So at least this isn't the last time we'll see him. That makes me happy.
Which, very, very much so, because he already seemed like a cool character. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of him.
Yeah.
Even if it's just in a small role like this, occasionally giving them info or helping them out.
Well, because he can be that character that, like, what's his name from the first season? The priest that, Darius. Like, he can be a Darius type character who just sort of floats in and out. You might not see him for a couple of episodes, but then he pops back up. He might only have one or two scenes, but it's not, because it makes it, we don't have Lucy, which also, given that we were really confused that she just suddenly was going to be gone, and we're like, well, what's going on here?
Right.
Now it makes sense. If Amanda moves, Lucy doesn't necessarily go with her.
Right.
So from a logistics standpoint, that makes sense. And but we need some of those ancillary characters. It's like when Duncan would leave Seacover and Charlie's not going to follow him to Paris, so we're not going to have Charlie for the second half, but we got Maurice popping up, or we've got whomever else that's in Paris. So it's cool to see that. I like that. And you know, Liam's great. Bert, this was the best episode with Bert.
Oh, absolutely.
And the best version of Bert so far.
Like, and I got to say, throughout this whole episode, nothing felt too cheesy.
No.
Nothing felt too cringe. Mm-mm. Amanda and Nick, like, their chemistry was actually on fire in this episode throughout
For
everything
once.
They did.
Yeah. It finally
and it was.
Like,
it's sad that it took them, what episode are we on? 14?
13.
13 took us 13 episodes to get here. That's a little too long, but I'm glad we finally got here and not waiting till the end of the season to do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, we've kind of already panned the series quite a bit this first half, and to be honest, if it weren't for this show, I don't know that I would have made it to this episode when watching it.
Right.
I might have bailed after the first couple because I would have been like, I like Amanda, but it just isn't doing it for me.
Right.
And that's not to say that those early episodes are still worth it, but this is at least, as a fan of Highlander and a fan of the mythos, this is a lot better. I'm hoping that this can at least be a trend to go forward, and we'll and our second half will be stronger.
Yeah. Here's hoping, because they did good with this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I very much enjoyed it. It's a bummer we're not going to get any more Jim Burns, but, you know, hey, that's fine.
Yeah.
Also, Valentin Pelka, again, as Andre Korda, was really good, and he made for a good villain.
Yes, he did. Also, complete side note, but it's funny that his IMDb photo is from this series of episodes, and this one specifically.
Yeah.
Like, because I recognize, you know, just the picture of him and the lady in the background. It's like, that's his henchwoman from this episode. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I might have done differently, and obviously there wasn't enough time for it, is, and it sort of also fits his character, I guess, so it's not really a big gripe, but the fact that his kind of right-hand woman, Amanda, kills in the previous episode, and it's brought up once, but only the one time, I kind of wish that had been more impactful on him, but I also sort of get like he just sort of sees other people disposable to him.
He does, and we got that at the end of the last episode when they let slip that she's not coming.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't survive. And he's like, I mean, they kind of set it up that he's having a drink for her, knowing she was going to get killed or whatever, seemingly, and then he moves on. So I think that's as much as they were going to let his character do it. But yeah, I think just keeping with his character, it's like, yeah, nobody means anything above him. So
yeah, he's just got himself so far above everyone else that it really doesn't matter. But yeah, no, we talked about how much we liked Valentin Pelka in the Highlander series, and he's great here as Korda. Again, as not the same character either. He's playing somebody different.
Right. Again, doing a primo job acting as a totally different character.
Yeah. And a good villain. A good villain for this that doesn't, good villain that doesn't need a lot of story around him. Like, we don't need, the focus of the episode is Amanda and Nick and Bert, and Amanda and Nick kind of dealing with their thing. So Korda is secondary to that, and the performance and the character as written works in that way as well.
And I would say especially the performance. Like, he does a good job of making this villain feel like a villain. But again, it's not too cringe, not too cheesy. Like, he just rides that line perfectly of being a bad enough villain, but not needing a whole lot of backstory.
Yeah. Yep. We don't need it. It's just there. And I'm good with that. So yeah, that is episode 13, The French Connection.
Oh, wait. We got to talk about that last fight though, because good Lord.
Okay.
One, we get Korda throwing it back at Amanda. Like, how could you possibly beat me? I taught you everything I know. And Amanda's like, you didn't teach me everything I know. Throwing it back. We got a cocky protagonist, and I was so here for it. I was like, ooh, cocky Amanda, bring it.
It was good. It was real good. Yeah. No, you're right to mention that, because, and I liked, I mean, there were a couple shots where it was pretty obvious stunt doubles.
Sure.
But for the most part, they were able to frame and shoot things without too many wide shots that required doubles. And frame it to make them both look better. Because we already know Valentin Pelka can at least swing a sword around and do an all right job. And we know that Elizabeth Grayson can too.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to pull that off. And I did like that. And I like her turning his teachings back on him too, and then dropping her sword and pulling the fans out and going that route. Because that's, poetic for her.
Look. Call it cheesy all you want. I love the, any final words for your teacher? She cuts his head off. Class dismissed. I was like, bring it. I'm here for that.
It's good stuff. I was all about that too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then the quickening was really good for this episode too. Like, it felt like a real quickening and not something like, there wasn't any quirk to it like they've done in the past episodes where she's had a quickening. It just felt like a straight up quickening.
Yep.
And it worked for me.
I was with you on that too. And I like the location. I like setting it on that like rail track. So they're able to, like, all the shots can be in tight where we can feel like it's isolated and away from things. And sometimes you gotta, you already have to suspend your disbelief that they're able to get away with any of this in the daytime anyway.
Right.
But some of the locations that get used occasionally because they look nice, also it's like, yeah, but somebody's going to notice this. Whereas this is like, there's nothing there except because it's high walls on both sides.
Right.
So unless a train comes through, which my guess is it's probably a disused track or a infrequently used one. I like that. But yeah, I liked the quickening. I thought that was cool. And I liked it just being a straight, kind of straightforward quickening. It was also a really good way.
Mm-hmm.
That's episode 13, The French Connection. It's a good one. It's the best episode of the season so far.
Mm-hmm. It is worthy of the name as well. So being a good episode. Good job.
Yes. Next week will be episode 14, The Rogue. Nick is hired to protect an actress who has received death threats. However, upon closer inspection, he realizes that the shooter is actually an immortal who used to work for the NSA with Burt Myers, and he has a score to settle with his former coworker.
Ooh.
Mm. Intrigue.
Yeah.
Having Burt involved with an immortal and probably not going to know he's an immortal isn't going to be interesting.
Yeah. Also, I find it amusing that they barely used his first name at all, Bert. They just called him Myers the whole time. Like, just use Bert. Just go for it. Not call him Bert.
Yeah, all of my notes are Bert. Just Bert.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so that's next week. The Rogue. That'll be fun. It sounds like a decent plot.
Could be interesting.
And we get to see how they do here in Paris.
Yeah.
So, always fun.
Now,
if you like this show and you want to watch us record it live, you can do that. I mean, we want you to still listen to the final episode. But if you want to see it live, you can come on by twitch.tv/TVsTravis every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Audie and I are here hanging out doing that. Yep. I am on all the social medias as TVsTravis, so you can find me anywhere. And you can come chat. We can talk anything. I mean, Highlander or not. It's fine. But I am excited for the Highlander reboot as it continues to move forward. I also saw the Deadpool 3 trailer. Looked really good.
Oh, my gosh.
That looks like it's going to be fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Deadpool and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
And, Audie, where can people find you?
You can find me on the socials as The Audie Norman.
Excellent. And also, you can hear the two of us on another show talking about old TV. With our friends Steven and Amy, the four of us talk on a show called Those Were the Days, which does stream Monday nights at twitch.tv/2dorksTV, or you can search for Those Were the Days on your favorite podcatcher and find us there. And that's always a lot of fun.
It is.
So until next week and episode 14, The Rogue, remember that there can... You can settle any argument with a basketball court.
Or a trick lighter.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.